Now, of course, we've heard over the last couple of weeks the Christmas story. There are a few stories about Jesus as a boy or in those early years. But this morning we're going to be focusing on the time when he was just 8 days old. And I want you to imagine for a moment that we are in the Temple of Jerusalem. I imagine there probably were some great big arches like the ones behind me. But we're going to hear now an account of what happened when Jesus was 8 days old from the temple guard.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and children, of course. My name is Josephus. I work as a temple guard in Jerusalem, and it is my job to register all the children who are presented in the temple in accordance with the requirements of the Jewish law. I recall a day when one particular child was presented. I was made aware that on the day in question, I was to expect the son of a carpenter called Joseph and his wife Mary. Oh yes, my namesake, Josephus, how could I forget? But first of all, I must tell you about a very good friend of mine. Simeon is his name. He was an impeccably righteous man. In other words, squeaky clean in all his doings. He was also absolutely and utterly dedicated to God. For a very, very long time, he had been waiting for the Messiah, about whom our ancient scriptures prophesied. He confided to me on more than one occasion that God had revealed to him that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's anointed one. On this particular day, Simeon came into the temple. His demeanor was radiant. He was beaming from ear to ear. It was as if he knew that he was meant to be there. He seemed full of expectancy that a divine appointment was about to take place. It almost seemed as if his life's purpose was about to be fulfilled. When Mary and Joseph brought their child in to do for him what the law required, Simeon made a beeline for the child, took him in his arms, and blessed God. What he said next, I remember as if it were yesterday. He said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Gentiles indeed, whatever next. Now Joseph and the child's mother marvelled at the things spoken of him. In fact, one might say in today's parlance, they were gobsmacked. At this point, Simeon blessed the couple. Then he turned to the child's mother and in a very serious tone said, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. He also forewarned Mary in an even more serious tone, a somber tone, in fact, that a sword would pierce her own heart also.
Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. It's headed, Jesus is presented in the temple, and as we've already heard, it's the story with includes Simeon. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, and I hope you've all had a very happy Christmas. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Nicola Aylett. I'm married to Graham, who's sitting at the front here, and we've been part of the family at St. Giles now for about 18 months, and I'm very happy to be able to take part in the service today. Well, over the past few weeks, you'll know that we've been looking at different songs and poems from the Old Testament and from the New Testament that help us to understand more of the meaning of Jesus' birth. And today we're going to come to the last in our series and looking at the words of the Song of Simeon. So the words of the Song of Simeon that you've already heard spoken this morning, it's probable that he didn't actually sing them, but they have been used as a song over many, many years in the church. Graham and I were in Peterborough Cathedral on Friday evening, and we heard these beautiful words sung by a visiting choir. This passage in Luke chapter 2 is the only place where we actually meet Simeon in the Bible. And as Joe said, Simeon had just one thing on his bucket list. He was longing and waiting to see God's promised Messiah. He's longing and waiting for the day when God would bring comfort and hope to his people. And as we heard in the reading, some days after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph brought him to the temple to present him to God. But before they could get as far as offering the sacrifice, Mary and Joseph were met by this old, patient, godly man, Simeon, who took the baby Jesus in his arms and spoke out these amazing words of praise to God. But before we look at those words together, I'd like us just to go back and think about the whole of the first two chapters of Luke's Gospel, because there are a lot of amazing things going on in those two chapters. And as I remind you of the story, I'd like you to help me in this way. I'd like this half of the church, whenever you hear me say the word angel or angels, to stand up and then sit down again. And on this half of the church, whenever I say the Holy Spirit, will you stand up and sit down? So here we go, a quick recap of Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2. So in chapter 1, the angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah in the temple, and he told him that he and Elizabeth were going to have a baby boy called John. And that baby boy would be full of the Holy Spirit, even before he was born. And he was going to make people ready for the Messiah to come. Well, Zechariah was a bit doubtful. And so the angel Gabriel told Zechariah that he wouldn't be able to speak for 9 whole months. And that's what happened. Zechariah couldn't say a word until the baby John was born. And then Luke tells us that Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. Meanwhile, the angel Gabriel had appeared to Mary and told her that she was going to have a baby who would be God's son, and that it would happen by the power of the Holy Spirit coming on her. As soon as the angel left Mary, she hurried off to Elizabeth's house. And when she arrived, we're told that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke out blessings over Mary. That's chapter 1. Then in chapter 2, we read that on the night that Jesus was born, there were shepherds in the fields. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and the angel spoke good news. And then there was a whole crowd of angels saying glory to God in the highest. And finally, in our passage for today, we read that the Holy Spirit came upon Simeon, that the Holy Spirit had told Simeon he would live to see the Messiah, and that the Holy Spirit prompted Simeon to go to the temple. There was an awful lot of heavenly activity going on in those 2 chapters. I wonder if you were a bit surprised at how many times the Holy Spirit was mentioned. It's okay, you can just remain seated now. But we hear a lot about the angels, don't we, in the Christmas story, but tend to overlook the mentions of the Holy Spirit. In those chapters, Luke mentioned the Holy Spirit at work in 4 different people in chapter 1, and there's a little prize if you can work out who those 4 people were and tell me afterwards. But when we come to Simeon, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 3 times. Everyone else has only got 1 mention. Simeon gets 3. So it really looks like Luke is trying to underline something here, and that what Simeon is about to say is really very important. So what does he say? Well, shall we read these words together? Together. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. Well, the people of Israel had been waiting a very long time. It was nearly 400 years since God had spoken through the last of the Old Testament prophets, and they were longing for this promised Messiah to come. And Simeon had been waiting a very long time. When he sees the baby Jesus, somehow Simeon knows that this is the one he's been waiting for. But what does it all mean? And what does Simeon's word tell us about who Jesus really is? Well, I've got a bag of parcels here, which somehow seems to have got left over from Christmas. And it's got a label on it which says, "To all the world, with love from God the Father." I think I'm going to need some help because there's 6 parcels inside. Yes, come on, you 3 come up. We'll just have 3 at a time. So, see if I can find parcels 1, 2, and 3. Okay, now we're going to open these 1 at a time. Who would like to open parcel number 1? Do you want to turn around so everyone can see you opening it? Yes, what could it be? What kind of a car is it? It's a fire engine. I think we've got a picture of a fire engine there. Thank you very much. What does a fire engine do? Yeah, so when does a fire engine need to go and drive out? When there's a fire and somebody's in trouble. Maybe there's people trapped in a building and somebody needs rescuing. That's when a fire engine goes. Okay, so parcel number two. Let's see if we can open that one as well. What do you think? Oh, you were right. It's an ambulance. And who needs an ambulance? What do we need an ambulance for?
Emergency.
For an emergency when what kind of thing is happening? Someone's hurt themselves or they're not very well and they need to go to the hospital. Yeah? Okay, so we've got a fire engine and an ambulance. And what do you reckon? A police car. Yeah, good thinking. Good thinking. So what about a police car? When do you see those going driving around? When robbers are coming? Or someone's done something wrong? Or maybe when somebody is in trouble? Okay. Thank you very much for helping me with those parcels. So we've got a fire engine, an ambulance, and a police car. When Simeon saw the baby Jesus, he said, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Salvation is not really a word that we use every day, is it? Maybe it's a bit hard for us to understand what he was talking about. But Jesus was God's rescue plan for the whole world. A little bit like all our emergency services rolled into one. Because you see, ever since the beginning, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, people have been doing their things their own way rather than God's way. And when you don't do things God's way, you end up in a mess. And it was Jesus who came to put things right and to make it possible for us to know God and to live in a right relationship with him. So Jesus came to rescue us from a situation where we'd got stuck. If you were in church last Sunday morning, you'll have heard Alison talking about a boy in her school who got his hand stuck in the radiator. He couldn't get it out, and nobody else could get it out. And it needed the fire brigade to come and to set him free. Well, Jesus is a bit like that for us. He brings us help and freedom when we've got stuck and got in a mess and we don't know how to get out. He brings us forgiveness and new hope. And then Jesus also came to bring us healing and wholeness to us who were infected with sin and whose lives were broken. A bit like the ambulance service, except he doesn't rush us to the nearest hospital, but he comforts us and heals us and helps to put our relationships right. And by dying for us himself, Jesus makes it possible for us to have new life with God. And then lastly, Jesus came to bring justice and to restore peace and good order. A bit like our police force, but so much more. And when he comes again, we will finally see his justice and peace, and he will rule over the whole world for good. Forever. So when Simeon says he's seen God's salvation, he's telling us that this baby Jesus will grow up to be the Savior who will do all these things. He will rescue and heal and restore, and he'll bring in God's kingdom forever. So let's remind ourselves again what Simeon said about the baby Jesus. Can we read together? "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." So I've got three more parcels, which I hope will help us to understand those words a little bit better. I'm going to do these one at a time. So, yes, would you like to come? And we'll find parcel number 4. Not sure what this one's going to be. Any guesses? Oh, what is it?
A globe.
A globe. And it's, what is a globe a model of?
The world.
The whole world. Thank you. Yes, let's put that up here as well. Well done. Our other two parcels are going to come in just a minute. Simeon reminds us that God's plan is for the whole world. It wasn't just for the people in the country where Jesus was born. And way back when God had called Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, he had said this to him, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And again, the prophet Isaiah had looked forward to the day when the Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. So God's salvation in Jesus is for all the peoples of the earth. That was his plan from the beginning of time. And that's why followers of Jesus are still going out into all the countries of the world to tell people the good news of God's rescue plan. So we have parcel number 5. It's long and thin, and it's a little bit heavy. And we think it's a torch. Can you switch it on? That's a very bright torch. Thank you. So what do you use a torch for, David? For light. When do you need a torch? When it's really dark, especially if you go camping to New Wine and you will need to find the toilets in the middle of the night, you need your torch to get there. One of the readings we always have at Christmas is from Isaiah chapter 9, and I wonder if we could read this one together. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." When the Bible talks about the Gentiles, it means all the other nations of the world that were not God's special people, the Jews. Simeon knew his Old Testament very well, and he understood that though the Messiah would come from the Jewish people, he would be God's gift to the whole world, a light of revelation to the Gentiles. Now, looking around this church, I don't know if we've got very many people who are of Jewish descent. I guess most of us are Gentiles. But Jesus came to bring light to everyone, to show us what God's love is like, and to help us to see God. Sometimes this world that we're living in can be a dark place. But we have some more words of Jesus. I wonder if you can skip a couple of slides, Richard, to Jesus talking about being the light of the world. Can we join in saying this one together? This is what Jesus said. "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And Jesus wants to shine that light into every part of our lives and every part of his world so that we can live in the light instead of in the darkness, and so that we can see the way to go. Right, last parcel. We're going to open this one. Looks a bit like a cracker, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Let's see if we can crack it open. Let's see if we can get in at the ends here. There we are. Oh. It's not a light, but if you look through that hole, what can you see? You can see everything looking a bit funny.
Yeah.
Can you see lots of colours?
Yeah.
Yes. Does anybody know what this is called? A kaleidoscope. It's called a kaleidoscope. Can I have a look? It's very interesting, isn't it? You can see all sorts of things. So something like this. Lots of different colours and shapes and patterns. I tell you what, I'm going to give you a special prize afterwards. Thank you very much for helping me. So a kaleidoscope is an amazing thing. On the outside, it doesn't look very much. But when you look through it, you can see all those beautiful shapes and patterns and colours. And it was a bit like that with Jesus. On the outside, he looked like a fairly ordinary man. But in fact, he was God's own son, his chosen Messiah. And when we look more closely at the kind of person that Jesus was and the things he did, then we can glimpse a little bit of God's amazing glory. It's very hard to explain that word glory, because it's really all about who God is. Wonderful and beautiful and loving and holy and dazzling and more amazing than we can even imagine. But in the first chapter of his gospel, John wrote this about the coming of Jesus. And we say these words together. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And as we go on, getting to know Jesus more and more, so he helps us to see more and more of what God is like. And as we see more of the beauty of Jesus, we realize what a wonderful thing it is to be God's children. And when we let him take control of our lives, we discover more of what life in all its fullness can be like. And we begin to taste the joy and the peace and love and life that he wants us to enjoy with him forever. So those last three presents, the globe, the torch, and the kaleidoscope, have shown us that Jesus was God's gift for the whole world to bring light to all peoples and to show us a glimpse of God's glory. Finally, I wonder how Mary and Joseph felt when they heard all that Simeon had to say about Jesus. He was an old man they'd never met before, coming up and holding their baby and speaking these extraordinary words over him. Luke tells us this: the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them. They were amazed at what they'd heard. And I'm guessing they probably felt very blessed and privileged that God had chosen them to look after Jesus as he grew up. But at the end of our reading, Simeon also had some sad words, which we mustn't overlook. He said to Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Simeon was prophesying that when Jesus grew up, many people would turn against him, and that what happened would make Mary very, very sad. And we know, don't we, that Mary was there when Jesus died on the cross, and that it must have been incredibly hard for her to see her own son killed in that way. Even today, many people will say bad things about Jesus. They don't really understand who he is, and they treat Christian people very badly. But Simeon's words remind us that in the end, people will be judged by the way that they respond to Jesus. I don't know if any of you sitting here this morning haven't yet really come to know Jesus for yourself. If you would say that's you, I'd love to give you this little booklet at the end of the service, which explains a little bit more about why Jesus came and what it meant for him to die for us. Do come and talk to me afterwards. For those of us who do know Jesus, we can know, like Mary and Joseph, that we are blessed and privileged that God has called us into his family and given us the task of taking the good news of Jesus to others. And it won't always be easy for us to follow Jesus, but we want other people to know the gift that God has given to all people, to know the salvation and the light and the glory that he came to bring us. And we know that he's promised to be with us to the very end. So as I finish, do you remember the song that we sang at the beginning of the service, which echoed the song of the angels? Let's read these words again together. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Peace. Simeon knew that he could die in peace because he had seen Jesus, and he knew that in him all God's promises were being fulfilled. If we have met Jesus and know who he is, then we can have that same kind of peace as well. Peace with God, peace with ourselves, peace with others, and peace to share. If you want to know more of that kind of peace today, then I'd encourage you after the service to come and speak with one of us at the front or with somebody you've come with and ask them to pray for you, that you will know that same kind of peace that Simeon had. Let's pray together now. Father, we thank you again for the gift of Jesus. Thank you that because you loved the world so much, you sent your Son, so that whoever knows him, whoever trusts him, whoever believes in him, will not have to face death eternally, but will be with you forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came to bring us life and forgiveness, that you showed us light and the way to the Father. We pray today that you will give us that peace that nothing in the world can give, the peace that only you can bring us. And we pray that you will fill us with boldness, as you filled the shepherds with boldness, to share that good news of peace with everyone we meet. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.